That last voice you heard was Patrick Maroon, the Blues Stanley Cup champion forward. You heard from Doc Emrick on NBC. You heard, of course, John Kelly on FS Midwest. And maybe the most notable line of that entire intro was, "This is crazy." And it has been. It's been a crazy ride. And the Blues are now the Stanley Cup champions on the heels of firing their head coach, Mike Yeo, in November, replacing him with Craig Berube on an interim basis, taking off pretty much going November without losing, an 11-game winning streak, and it all culminating last night in Boston with a 4-1 win that wrapped up the Blues' first Stanley Cup championship. And for me, gentlemen, it really hit me when I saw the video of Alex Pietrangelo getting off the plane early this morning with the cup and carrying it out to the assembled crowd at 4:30 in the morning. There's a huge throng of people waiting to greet the Blues as they return from Boston. And Lord Stanley resides in St. Louis now.
Randy, you've seen it forever. You've seen these moments. You've seen teams. You've seen individuals. You've seen fan bases be excited, carry the cup, have moments, have memories. Never been your team. It's never been this team. It's never been this city, these people, these guys. It is. Finally. And you mentioned that "This is crazy" really stands out off the top when Army was talking about, and it was in reference to relieving Mike Yeo of his duties, but it was time for a change. Well, you talk about a change. You talk about a change in a season. You talk about a change in an overall persona. You talk about a change in just a fan base. This isn't a every story about the Blues ends in a, but they've never won, you know? No. Everything has changed. The story has changed, and this group of guys brought it to us.
I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is the most special team, and I don't mean best team, but I mean the most special team in the history of the city because of where they were, because everybody had buried them, not literally, but figuratively. Mm-hmm. We had all buried them several months ago, and they go and do this, and they do it against really good teams in the playoffs. And they have that 11-game win streak. And again, I'm not saying they are not the best or most dominant team that we've seen in this city. We've seen some really great Cardinals teams. That Rams team that won the Super Bowl was a tremendous team. This is special. What the St. Louis Blues did, this particular team, is amazing. There aren't enough adjectives to describe them and how incredible what they've done really truly is, and that is not hyperbole to say that.
The longest wait for any NHL fan base to have their first Stanley Cup championship, and last night is what defines St. Louis, and not just the St. Louis sports fan, but what we do well, and I've said it a million times, is sports. And to get the massive crowd at Busch Stadium, and people are shoulder to shoulder.
In the rain,
yes. Pouring rain. And Ronge, you were at Enterprise Center to have the 18-5 at Enterprise Center for a game that isn't played. To have the huge crowd, a standing room only, can't get into the building crowd at Ballpark Village. And all the other places around town, it is what we are. And that just perfectly displays what St. Louis is all about. We're about really one thing now, and that is being great sports fans.
I'm going to tell you something about those Enterprise Center watch parties. And by the way, before I get to that, awesome to you, all those people that went out to Busch Stadium last night,
yeah, right,
sat through the rain, waited it out, and then there were a lot of freaking people there. In a night where the weather was not very good.
Nearly
for a
30,
long time.
That's the Miami Marlins so would have loved to have had that crowd last night.
That's five games for them. Five real games.
Yeah. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. But the Enterprise Center watch parties felt like home games. I'm not kidding you. I mean, you're watching on a TV, and I think, Randy, you got to go to a couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
You went to
which
one? It's on a TV in front of you. It feels like they're there. It feels like they're on the ice in front of you. And I know it's kind of a weird dichotomy because you've got the TV product and you know that the players on the ice aren't hearing any cheers when they score.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you being in the building at Enterprise, it sounds like the game is happening right there. The horn goes off. When they finally win the game, the clock runs down. The streamers come out. You've got explosions. I mean, just there's so much going on in the building. That was I will never ever forget that. I'm never going to forget that night. None of us are ever going to forget what happened last night.
Well, I don't know. Meat tried.
Oh, Meat. Meat may have tied one on last night.
Do you remember what happened? Do you remember who won the game last night, Meat?
The Blues won, right?
Yeah, yeah. They did.
I think.
Yeah,
good for you.
It was such
one of those big crowds was at the Note where we broadcast yesterday, and Meat said, "Oh, I'm just gonna have one beer and get out of here."
Yeah, and so I left the Note. I went over to Enterprise. My car was parked there in the garage. I come back, stop in the Note, gonna say hello to Ryan, our guy, and. Meat standing in the doorway.
I thought you were
going home after the first period. He's like, oh, there's a guy giving us booze. Oh, Meat was as fired up as I've seen him in probably ever.
We loved your reaction last night with the mic drop feature at the 101 ESPN app, and we're going to hear your reaction next on 101 ESPN. Oh, people have fun with a Blues Stanley Cup championship, don't they?
Well, they've been waiting for a while.
Yeah. Did you guys have fireworks going off in your neighborhood? We did.
I think I heard something. Yeah. I hope it was fireworks.
Yeah, chances I hope so, too.
I believe in your town it was fireworks.
Well, fingers crossed. You never know.
Yeah. Probably not anything else.
But
I heard
some
downtown, and they were actual fireworks. Okay. They weren't the other thing. Because I saw them going up into the sky. And we usually don't shoot up into the sky, do we?
Of course.
Well, I guess we do.
Because
then it might land at Busch Stadium, whatever. Lady, yeah.
Let's go good news.
Okay, yeah.
Those were all good news. Those were all awesome. By the way, we'd be remiss. I know we're going to do a bunch of mic drops here, but Randy, I would venture to say at least 47 of the last 50 text messages we've got to the Hotshot text line 65780 have been in regard to your tattoo.
Well, let's talk about this.
Real quick, right? I mean, you got to let the people know. I mean, you're not, you're doing this. This is happening.
It's going to happen. I have been in touch with several tattoo artists and parlors throughout the area, narrowing it down. Hopefully, we'll have something narrowed down by tomorrow afternoon and maybe an announcement on Monday as to when and where this is going to occur.
This is like the process when defense contractors bid to build like an airplane or something, right? That's what we're doing. Let's see the right deal, and then we're going to have a grand unveiling. We're going with this tattoo parlor.
The first thing you want to do is weed out those that spell regrets.
No regrets.
Oh, yeah.
I am one of the tattoo artists in this town.
And,
you mean one of the best?
No.
One of the. There are some spectacular tattoo artists in this town. So I do appreciate it. I got a lot of tweets about it.
Yeah,
I know
people
we've got
are interested.
Texts about it, and it's going to happen. And I can almost guarantee you that we'll have an announcement on Monday as to where it's going to happen and hopefully when.
It's going to be a live show, too, and it's going to be
And I was told
special.
That it'll be fine, that I can just take a couple of Advil and I can breeze through a show with no problem.
Oh, yeah, you'll be totally
fine. Yeah, you're going to be fine.
Our friend Bo Matthews used to be down the hall at New Country. He had a big dog tattoo applied to his arm during a show. So if Bo can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, you're going to be just fine.
I mean, Bo did get to play music.
Yeah, that's true. Also. Good point. Your mic drops from last night. Some you might remember, some you might not. Here's our first.
I just bought my first house, and they talk about a house becoming a home through the memories you get to make there. I was able to watch Game 5 here. I just watched Game 7 here. Talk about making a memory. You're Stanley Cup champs. Let's go, Blues. Woo! And the great thing is, now I can play Gloria as loud as I want.
That is your house.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell you want in that house.
Yeah,
that is yours.
I really thought,
and you just never know because everybody celebrates in different ways. I thought that guy was going to say, and now I got to make an insurance claim because I did something bad to my house because I was celebrating so much. Good for them.
You do want to celebrate to an extent.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there's always too far. I think that we saw too far with people trying to push the arch into the river.
I saw a video.
You saw it?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
How many people?
There were a few. They were trying to leverage it a little bit. I think I'm quoting, she ain't budging. Text in 657 if you're one
you.
Of those.
She ain't budging.
She ain't budging.
Yeah.
Here's the next on 101 ESPN.
I'll be honest with everyone. I haven't been a Blues fan for that long. Only about 3 years. But we won tonight. And if me and my wife conceive a child tonight, girl, Gloria, boy, Stanley.
Well, congratulations.
That's perfect.
Good for you.
Wow. I mean, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
And really, in a moment like that, and I'm not trying to say if you've been watching since their inception that it's not going to feel a little bit different, but I don't care if you've been watching since the Blues started. It's been 52 years for you, or you started 3 years ago, or you just bought in a week ago. Like, you just finally got in. It's a special night for everybody. It's just an awesome night. It's an occasion that brings people together. And by the way, is going to create hockey fans, Blues fans, for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Here's our next mic drop.
Sometimes the pieces just come together. Sometimes the stars align. Sometimes the story unfolds and it seems too good to be true. And you wait for the ending, and you know your bubble's going to burst. But it didn't.
No. Even when it was 2-0 after the first period last night, because we kind of experienced that in game one, right? Up 2-0 a minute into the second period. Yeah. You say, oh, what's going to happen here? Once it got to 3-0, I felt pretty good.
Yes. Well, that's what we were talking about yesterday, Randy, and you were saying, I want to be able to celebrate for the last 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it felt like that. I mean, you got the four goals. They got one back. Who cares? Bing, bang, boom. But it just felt like one of those where you could see all the guys and they'd show them on the bench and you could just feel it. And following along on Twitter, Ron, you're at a watch party. Like, you're feeling the emotions. It's kind of a cool way to be able to do it.
You just couldn't stop looking around the building because it is one of those. And, you know, you've always got that, I guess, that fandom in you. You're always waiting for something bad to happen. And so even when they're up 3-0 and then it's 4-0, you're like, okay, this is really good. But, you know, what if something stupid happens? But, you know, I mean, you in your heart of hearts, you know what's about to happen. You know they've got this thing locked up. So I spent a lot of the last several minutes just looking around the crowd and people starting to celebrate early. Well, there was a buzz the entire night at Enterprise Center, but by the time there were about 4 or 5 minutes left to go in the third, it was palpable. I mean, like, everybody knew what was coming. And that's the kind of thing I think I wanted. I know that we talked about it yesterday. Do you want it to be like an overtime or a last-second goal and it's tied and somebody has to score with a minute or two left in order to get the win? We were like, no, let's wrap
this. Let's get a blowout here.
Yes, let's get a blowout. Let's wrap this thing up. We're going to have many close games to come. Let's just make this one a laugher, and they did.
Our next mic drop on 101 ESPN.
3 years ago after the Rams left, I went to St. Louis with my son to go to a ball game, went to a Blues open house. I told my wife I'd look around, we talked about it. I came back home with a 12-game package. She wasn't all that thrilled, and she let me know that every time a credit charge hit the credit card bill for our tickets. This year, though, she really got into it. She correctly predicted a 4-1 victory in Game 7 last night. And with her blessing, we are upgrading to a half-season package next year.
There you go.
That's what I like to hear. You're in.
It's going to be a lot of that.
Roger, you know what's funny, too, is when you were talking about that fandom thing creeping in and the waiting for something bad to happen. That's gone now, right?
Yeah.
Like, that part of it is gone. You can't use that anymore.
Yep.
It's like, well, everything always goes again.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
That's
it. No, it doesn't. It's gone. All
yep.
those bad things.
Yeah,
not that you can't continue to have those memories. And you can still think, oh, yeah, that Yzerman, that sucked. Who cares? It's gone.
I mean,
like, those things are gone.
You might have a few people that'll just have that natural reflex from here on out, and then they'll
stop
themselves and go,
oh,
wait a minute, we won. We're good. What are we talking about? That's what it is forever now.
Let's get one more mic drop in on 101 ESPN.
From first to last place ever in history, oh my gosh, I don't think I've seen my mom cry this much since her mother's funeral. Oh, man. Let's go, Blues. Stanley, meet Gloria.
First to last. Nailed it.
And then back again.
Yeah, and then back.
So there's a the Post-Dispatch has a photo gallery of the celebration this morning over where the Blues arrived near Lambert Field. And they've got a photo of a guy, and the caption says, "A fan takes a nap on the lawn in the early hours of the morning while waiting to welcome the Blues home." I don't think that was a nap.
It's called a pass out.
Please tell me it's meat.
Could be.
Does he know where his car is?
Pretty funny. Hey, we appreciate you participating in the show and the station with the Mic Drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. You can always use that, and later on in the show, we will have more Mic Drops from you, and we do want to hear from you later on in the program. As a matter of fact, coming up at 6:30, after all the confidence in the series, the folks in Boston didn't really get what they wanted to have, but we will have more Mic Drops later on in the show, and we'll tell you what we want you to talk about.
Yeah.
Participate in the program.
I think the Bostonians are going to be just fine. Meanwhile,
I just experienced a meetup.
What happened?
No, that's what it was that I was reading. Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues, had a fantastic closing call last night. He'll join us next on 101 ESPN.
Kerbs is going to be next, and he's going to talk to us about a Stanley Cup championship. And here in St. Louis, we're getting to celebrate that right now for the first time ever. And so I know a lot of people are going to want a piece of that. You're going to want some memorabilia. And right now we're talking to the vice president of the Highland Mint, Vince Bobot, who is with us, and he's got something special that he wants you to know about. First of all, Vince, thanks for being with us. And second, what do you have?
Thanks for having me. Looks like Blues Fever is amped up over there.
Oh, we are feeling it all day.
That's fantastic. So I'm here to tell you about this limited edition frame commemorating the Blues' first Stanley Cup. So it's officially licensed by the NHL, and a limited edition of only 5,000, so they're going quick. This is a 13-inch by 16-inch frame. It's double matted. It features a custom photo of the key Blues players with the Stanley Cup. As well, it has two solid bronze minted coins, one of them being the Champions coin, the Stanley Cup Champions coin. How good does that sound now?
Sounds awesome. I never thought we'd hear that.
Yeah, right. Furthermore, it includes a certificate of authenticity that is individually numbered, and there's a banner matted between the coins and the photo listing every postseason game and the entire team roster. So the cost for the frame is $99. It's only $99, and also for your listeners, we're going to include a free NHL Finals game coin, so in addition to the frame, and it's for your listeners. It can be ordered now by calling 888-560-2727. That's 888-560-2727. Or you could order it online by going to sbflip.com. That's S as in super, B as in bowl, flip.com.
Well, Vince, it does sound like a really cool thing. I got a picture of it right here. I'm taking a look at it, and this does look like something that people are going to want to have, and there are a limited number of these, correct?
Absolutely. It's limited. We're limiting them to two per person that calls in, so because the demand is so great.
So, Vince, we appreciate your time today. That is Vince Bobot, the vice president of the Highland Mint, and this is a really cool commemorative item. I think you're going to want to have it. Again, go to the website, sbflip.com.
That, a great call from the longtime radio voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. You heard that call last night on KMOX, says the Blues won Game 7, 4-1 over the Boston Bruins, and they literally brought home the Stanley Cup for the first time in the history of the St. Louis Blues.
Something wrong with my skin, Randy.
Yeah, you got
goosebumps.
A goosebump or two.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, what a wonderful job by Kerbs and Joey Vitale on the broadcast throughout the 2018-2019 season. And Chris Kerber is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. First question, sir. Well, first of all, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. How are you doing today?
Randy, I'm doing awesome, bud. Actually, we're sitting in a little parade planning meeting, trying to make sure everybody can have the fun that we hope that they have on Saturday.
Okay, so I'm assuming that you have not slept then.
I did. I actually said to Christy, I said, please do me a favor. Take this phone away from me for 2 hours and so I can sleep for 2 hours.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kirk.
So from about 9 to 11, I slept.
Well, good for you. Well, you deserve it. Everybody gets 2 hours, all right? So you deserve that. And first of all, man, thank you. Thank you for taking us along on the ride this year because, man, it was an epic one. And hearing your voice there, and you can almost hear it as you're finishing the sentence, it just felt like a weight is lifted. And that's how this city feels right now, Curbs.
It really does, and it's so great to know now that we will never have to say the words "the Blues have never won a Stanley Cup again," or "we hope that this is the year." You know, you won't have to say "wait till next year" again. You'll be able to bask in the glory this year, and it was such a special moment with all these guys and all these players and how they did it that you know, it's too much to summarize honestly in just a couple of sentences.
Well, I know that watching the game at Enterprise Center last night, being at the watch party, it felt like a home game. And all of these parties have felt like a home game. And getting to hear your call just now for the first time, that's that really gives you the chills. You must have felt the same way. When you're, and I don't know if you prepared what you were going to say. I'm sure you thought about it because you always dream of this moment happening. Or if it was all natural, whatever it was, what were your feelings as the clock was winding down and as you knew this was going to happen?
I did not prepare what I was going to say. You had to let the game kind of dictate it, and the Bruins kept the pressure on all the way down to the final seconds. So whatever came out just came out. I just knew that I had to keep it short and succinct so you don't get too wordy and kill the moment. But what was going through my head, honestly, you're thinking this is possible and we're in a great spot, but until that horn sounds, this hasn't happened. And you stayed in that moment right to the very end. And it's kind of funny, like the players did the same thing. I guess after Zach Sanford scored there, that fourth goal, they were all up on their feet on the benches, you know, telling each other, next shift, next shift. And it wasn't until about 20 seconds to go that they started jumping up and realizing that they had just accomplished this amazing goal. So very similarly the same way, you're just trying to watch everything and you're so in the moment, guys, that you can't let yourself emotionally get out of whack because you're keeping an eye on both benches. You're keeping an eye on the puck. You're keeping an eye on some player maybe doing something stupid. You're like, you're just kind of in that moment. And then it's only at the very end that you take a deep breath and you go, oh my God, they did it. And that's kind of how it happened.
The voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, with us on 101 ESPN. He, of course, will be with us with his job next year. And I'm going to be in for Bernie tomorrow. You're going to come in and join Michelle and I for a while?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to come in and join you guys for a good chunk of the show. You bet.
Looking forward to that. You and Chaser had a long career together and experienced a lot of joy. But in terms of the hockey team, Kerbs, from January 3rd on, this team, in my observation, seemed to experience a lot of joy. Was the vibe, maybe it was Craig Berube, maybe it was just because of the turnaround, was the vibe different and more joyful with this team than others?
This team started playing Game 7 scenarios in January. If you really think about it, every single game that they played felt like it was a must-win game. And if you lost one, you felt, oh, man, we lost ground or we didn't gain ground. And I think that created a bonding moment where, you know, Craig Berube's philosophy is, I don't care if you're Vladimir Tarasenko or Oscar Sundquist, you're going to feel my wrath if you don't do what you're supposed to do, and you play for each other. And that message got through. Sundquist, I thought his quote to us at the end of the game was perfect. He's hard but fair. And it's all a player wanted. It was just something to be fair. And they started to just play for each other. And I think because of that scenario that they had to play that way, I think they just became hardened and steadfast in what the direct task in front of them was. They learned to play those elimination games over the final 40 games of the regular season, guys. And it was pretty obvious because, my goodness, when it came to elimination games, except for Game 6 in this series, they were spectacular.
It's funny, Kerbs, because when you say that, I kind of think of it for some reason from like a parenting level. Like you don't know what – you're preparing your kids, but they don't know what it's for. And that's until they find out – oh man, we learned all these lessons. We were ready for this moment, and it takes a while sometimes, Kerbs, to kind of appreciate and realize something like that. Well, I think last night might be the best moment to appreciate and realize something like that.
You know what? Where they start to realize it and appreciate it is they're sitting on the plane and they're going, holy crap, that Stanley Cup's right there. And it's not a fake one. It's real. Because Phil Pritchard, the guy with the white hair and the gloves, is sitting right here with it. And I'm serious. Like, there's just the reality of going, I think after, they have to be so clued into the moment that it's only afterwards that you can really appreciate what it all meant.
So when you're watching last night's game, as you know, everybody in St. Louis was glued to it. We got the TV numbers today. It was the, let's see, the most watched NHL game on record was this one with just for television, 8.9 million people around the country watching this. Is this about, in your opinion, is it about the market of Boston? Is it about the mass appeal of the St. Louis Blues? What do you think that's all about?
I think it's about the amazing, amazing sports town that we live in St. Louis, and how dialed in they are, and how the St. Louis Blues captured the imagination here. I think it is about Boston and the number of championships and everything that they've gone through. I think it's also about the fact that it was a Game 7 winner-take-all. You didn't have to be a longtime fan to be vested into one game. You knew you're going to watch one game, and somebody was going to win, somebody was going to lose, and someone was going to lift the cup, and somebody was going to cry. And so I think it's a combination of all of it. But I can promise you, I don't think that those numbers are the same if the city of St. Louis is involved. The TV numbers have been absolutely astronomical, and I can guarantee you the National Hockey League has taken note of that.
Curbs, broadcasters get the cup for a day. Have you thought about what you're going to do?
I don't know that we do yet, Randy, and if we do, I'm going to spend some time with my dad. I can tell you that. So I'll start with that one. How's that?
That sounds terrific. And I thought I'd heard the broadcaster. Didn't your buddy John Walton get a day with the cup?
Yeah, you know, a couple of them did. Some teams have done it, some teams have not. So
you
I don't
better.
Know just yet what the plan is with the St. Louis Blues. We're kind of low on the totem pole there. So hopefully we get that moment. I have dreamed about that opportunity even for just a few hours like some of the guys have done, and have a couple personal moments with it like that. But, man, I'll tell you what, Randy, this is just unbelievable. I am looking outside the window now. We're in this planning meeting at the Jamison Club. And just the cars parked out here, the people coming into the, Blue Note Authentics team store. I mean, just absolutely amazing what we're seeing down here.
It's unbelievable. And I want to get one more thing from you, because you have a big family. You're very close with them. And obviously your dad and you have a great relationship. So what was that like last night when you got a chance to communicate with them after the victory?
So I had gone down to the dressing room. I had hung out with Bobby Plager outside, listened to all the celebration going on inside. At one point, Pat Maroon blew me away and kind of pulled me into the room, and I got absolutely drenched, but took a drink of beer from the Stanley Cup. And then as they were still going, I stepped out and I went down the hallway and I just called and talked to my dad for about, sorry guys, choking up trying to tell you. Just talked to my dad there for a few minutes, and I had a personal moment with him that I'll never forget. Sorry.
No, that's I'm glad you did, and that's what winning a Stanley Cup will do, and it's especially Father's Day week. It's so cool that you get to spend this celebration with him on Father's Day as well. And Curbs, we'll let you get back to your meeting.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It is something special. You know, we lost my mom back in 93. So pretty good moment, I would say.
Yeah, no doubt. Curbs, thanks so much for the time. We will see you in the morning.
All right, guys, thanks.
Appreciate it. That is our friend Chris Kerber, the radio voice of the Blues on 101 ESPN. And we ask questions to elicit responses like that. You might not realize it, but we want people to cry.
Oh, we love
it. And
tears of joy, though. Tears of joy.
Well, when you go through the year, and you can say, you know, the battles, the wars, whatever, but the season, it's long. You don't get a chance to have a moment like this until today, until now, until last night. Like you said, when he had the opportunity to call his father for a minute. Like, that's so special.
And that's one of those relationships. Sometimes this is a weird business, because sometimes if you have a parent – and you say, I want to get into sports casting, they'll say, oh, that's a really competitive industry. You have no chance there. Some parents say, you know what? That's your dream. Go chase your dream. And Curbs, from a young age, wanted to be a broadcaster, wanted to be a hockey play-by-play guy, and he has been consistently uplifted in his pursuit. So I know exactly where he's coming from and why he choked up there, and it's awesome. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, one of those longtime Blues who never had a chance to hoist the cup, goalie Mike Liute, who will join us next on 101 ESPN. Doc Emrick, the call on NBC last night. You heard from the head coach of the Blues, Craig Berube, about Jordan Binnington, whose representative in contract negotiations is former Blues goalie Mike Liute. Mike had several players involved in the game last night, including Vladimir Tarasenko and Jake DeBrusk of the Bruins, David Krejci of the Bruins. And now Mike is with us in the Fast Lane on the Braun and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Mr. Liute, with Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, this is Randy Carricker. Thanks so much for taking some time, and congratulations on the team that you had your greatest success with, winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's great for the city of St. Louis, great for the guys, of course, and the organization. It's been just a really solid franchise for so many years, and it's great to see them win. You know, it's just I'm a little bit amused at how many people are congratulating me. I have to remind them I haven't played for the Blues since '85, so don't congratulate me. It's the guys who played and the city of St. Louis.
And I want to go back to what you first said about the franchise, because there were times when you played when this franchise was in a real tenuous situation. To win a Stanley Cup after where they were in '83 is heartening to me as a St. Louisan.
Well, I mean, you can go back further than that. I was drafted along with Bernie and Brian Sutter in 1976, and in 77 when I graduated from Bowling Green. The original owners, the Solomon family, literally turned the keys to the franchise back to the league, and they didn't participate. I don't believe they participated in the entry draft in 77. And I signed in the WHA for that reason, and if it wasn't for Emil Francis, I don't know if St. Louis has a franchise after that year. But that's when Ralston stepped in and bought it late in the summer of 1977. And then irony of ironies, it was really Bill Wirtz, of the Chicago Blackhawks owner, that was the instrumental person in preventing Ralston from selling the franchise to Saskatoon. So, you know, there have been a lot of hiccups along the way, but it has always been a terrific franchise. I mean, the Montreal Canadian influence and upon expansion, and the players that they brought in here, and Scotty Bowman, and you know, there was just it was the place to be and the thing to do. People treated it as respectfully and reverently as they did in Montreal and Toronto. So terrific for St. Louis. And, of course, the proof in all that is the number of players that have stayed there and the number of alumni, you know, that try to share or really openly supported the team winning, guys, that just haven't played in years. And so it's a great story, great storylines for sure.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, I don't remember at the beginning of the year, I don't remember anybody even whispering the name Jordan Binnington. And here we are. I mean, it's him. He finally showed the emotion at the end of it. And when I say that, it's not that he's not an emotional kid, but he just keeps everything in. It was amazing to see how he went through the ups and downs, and then he finally is able to let it out. How does this happen? How does that happen in a season where you're fourth man on the depth chart, and then you're the last man standing, and everybody's tackling him?
Well, I mean, you've got to look at it. These things happen in sports. He's been the fourth man in their depth chart since he took the Chicago team deeper into the playoffs his second year. They made a trade for Phoenix Copley, and the two of them kind of spun their wheels for a couple of years. And then he was, the fourth guy and no opportunity to play in the NHL. He's playing for the Bruins, irony of ironies, the Bruins farm team last year. And so, along the way, you develop some calluses, and, I think in some ways, you know, it was motivating in other ways. You know, he just sort of relaxed last year and just played. And this year he was really motivated. We thought that St. Louis was a good opportunity for him, given, you know, who they had. And nobody was, you know, that ingrained. I mean, Jake certainly had been here. But after that, it was wide open. And so, you know, Jordan came to training camp this year. He was very determined. He was prepared. And it was just a matter of grinding through until he got his chance. Now, nobody thought that it was going to end this way. But once he was given the opportunity, he answered every challenge. He held his composure at every moment. You know, he's been doing it for almost 6 months now. I mean, this is no fluke. This is not a flash in the pan. This is a young guy who has just answered the bell every day with an even keel, and he was rewarded, you know, the ultimate prize.
Yeah, Binnington certainly did have a lot of tremendous games throughout the season for the Blues, but how about, and have you seen this very often, where a guy has the game of his life in Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final?
Well, I sent him a text after Game 6, you know, I guess, you know, a couple of days ago before Game 7. And I just said, hey, I was thinking, you know, you get to play Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Every kid who ever owned a pair of skates has dreamed of playing that game, right? I mean, that's just, you know, just go out there and just play it for yourself. You know, just, you know, don't get bogged down in all the what might happen and what it means. And that's where athletes get distracted. That's all noise. You know, you just have to seize the moment, step back and appreciate where you are, take a deep breath and go and execute. And let's not worry about the win. Let's just play well. And that was his approach the entire playoffs. You know, and that's goaltending. Goaltending is about giving your team a chance to win. Nothing more than that. And along the way, like we saw last night, hey, the Blues are playing hard in that first period. Yes, they got out chance, but you know, it was a chance. It wasn't a chance and a chance and a chance. You know, they're pressuring Boston, and it gave him a chance to be the difference. So it was a terrific team win. It was a terrific 6 months for that team and everybody. So many players on that team contributed in significant ways. You know, up and down the lineup, you could pick a player. And you know, I think they had the 6 months of their life.
Former Blues goaltender Mike Liut, now an agent with us on 101 ESPN. And Mike, as an agent, you love it when a plan comes together. And you would have loved to have gotten a multi-year contract for Patrick Maroon last offseason. But to get the one-year deal that you got for him in his hometown, it couldn't have worked out any better.
Well, I didn't get it for him. Ben Hankinson in our company got
okay.
it for him. But, you know, it was really also, you know, Pat Maroon, who, you know, he had more money in another place. Right, another team, and he chose to come home, and there's a lot of people that believed in this team. You know, and when things were not maybe at their darkest moment, you know, I had a conversation with Doug Armstrong, and he said, you know, we're not a good team right now, but this is a really good franchise. And he was, you know, it was just kind of a moment of clarity, maybe, you know, where you just say, it's better. We should be doing better, and these things happen, but this is a good place to play. And you know, we were. Just having a chat. It wasn't about anything specific, but there's a lot of players that feel that way about St. Louis. So, you know, when things came together, and Craig Berube has to have, you know, be given a lot of credit for bringing that room together. You know, but there's a lot of young kids that are there that are, you know, the veteran players certainly did their thing. And then you have a player like Pat Maroon that says, hey, listen, I want to play there. I want to play there for all those reasons. And he's rewarded, you know, for that. So, you know, when I think about this team, there's just so many very interesting storylines up and down the lineup. And, you know, and the one thing that really stood out is, you know, players went in, players came out, and the guys who went in rose to the challenge, and the ones that had to come out, you know, weren't a distraction. It was a really great win.
One final thing for Mike Liut. As you might imagine, this town is thrilled for Bobby Plager, and you were there with Bark and Bobby back in the late 70s, early 80s, and I'm sure that you, as an individual and as a former Blue, are thrilled for him, too.
Yeah, but I mean, Bobby's been there from day one. I mean, that's another great storyline in that organization. And he has done, you know, everything the organization has ever asked him to do. So, you know, for him to participate at that level, you know, that's it was a great thing to say. You know, I saw him pick up the cup and I said, you know, it's okay. You know how players are. If they didn't win it on the ice, they don't want to touch it. With Bobby, that's the one exception to the rule, right? And it was great to see him, you know, and I'm sure he picked it up for himself and Bark. And, you know, it's been a great family in St. Louis, the Plagers.
Yeah. Well, we still have great memories of you playing here. And whether you want it or not, you get congratulations because you were a key Blue in their history and they finally won it.
Yeah, it's great. We're, you know, all happy for them to, you know, to punch through and win it. And you know, the franchise deserves it. And the city of St. Louis certainly deserves it. It's a great sports town.
Mike Liu, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Thank you.
Have a great day. That is former Blues goalie, now representative for Octagon Sports, Mike Liu. By the way, Octagon represents Binnington, Bortuzzo, Maroon, Perron, Steen, and Tarasenko. So that's a pretty big portion of the Blues roster that one agency has.
Doing all right, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Good for them.
Coming up next in the Fast Lane, we have Patrick back for day two in the 4 o'clock fight. That's coming your way next on 101 ESPN.